If you are indeed sowing the Bible into your heart, if you are indeed obeying the precepts and commands of God, what are you going to reap? You're going to reap facets of the Bible, fruit of the Bible. How incredible is that? Invisible God, invisible kingdom, invisible Jesus, invisible Christian faith. We only have the Word of God, and then this thing, this deposit that gets made to us, a sixth sense. When we believe in Christ, we get this faith to then apprehend His promises, make them part of our life, take them into us as much as we would a piece of bread, and live by them, get strength by them all the way up. You'll never make it without the promises of God. Okay, this is already getting really hard. It looks so beautiful, doesn't it? You know, being out here in the wilderness, but climbing when you get to the steep parts is so difficult. So now is a good time for me to find a place to introduce you to the next stage, clinging to God's promises. And I see a place right up here. So let's go. Okay. I found us a nice little spot to talk about, without a doubt, the most important stage that repeats over and over all the way up. It's not a one-time stage. If I could, I would make this stage repeat probably about every three stages that we go. And again, I'm calling this clinging to God's promises. It is absolutely, unspeakably, indescribably important to harvest the Word of God. The Word of God is living and active. The Word of God, Psalm 19, gives purity to the eyes, rest to the soul, gives the way to the simple. The Word of God, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, all scripture, God-breathed and useful for correcting, teaching, rebuking, and instructing in the ways of God. But probably one of the most important aspects is that the Word of God is where we get the maintenance of our faith. It's where we receive more and more grace to do that which we agreed at the very beginning we cannot do on our own. Now, what's really interesting is the first place I attempted to sit and do this was farther down where there was still some of the snow melt and water. And I got attacked by some of the biggest mosquitoes that I've ever seen. And they chased me off. And I, probably the biggest mosquito I've ever seen. Yeah, he's trying to get me. He's trying to get me. Get off of here. Yeah. I just looked at that. And on my way, I said, Lord, please help me find a place where there's no mosquitoes as we get higher up so I can shoot this place. But I cannot help thinking of all the times I've mentioned persecutions, comments, distractions from other people, these little satanic mosquitoes that come to try to irritate you. And again, just bear with me as I see here, I'm getting bit. Yeah, I won't be able to stay here. I needed to have put on bug spray, huh? And take your focus away. And it's again like Genesis 15:11, when God asks for a sacrifice of Abraham so that he can be certain he will receive the land and that it will be his posterity that receives it, his children. The birds of prey, which we know in the New Covenant, are a picture of demons, spiritual warfare, come to steal the sacrifice and to keep him from being able to give the sacrifice that God was going to require in order for him to receive God's promise and God's will. And it says Abraham shooed them away. You know, he resisted them. And we have to do the exact same thing. So instead of just saying, oh, forget it, I won't film this stage, I said, Lord, help me. And there it is again, even in filming these videos, brothers and sisters, not just that this video and these stages all the way up are a picture of what you have to go through in real life, but even doing these videos, I'm actually practicing what I have been living and what I have been preaching for the last 16 years, 15 years in the ministry. So it's really important for you to see, it's amazing how this happens. You have to have Matthew 11:12 violence to resist the kingdom of Satan, to resist the kingdom of man, to resist the devil of your flesh and to violently possess the kingdom of heaven and not allow disappointments. I mean, I had to get out my whole tripod, get the camera set up, get everything ready to go. And, you know, it's hard to stop and set up. And here all these mosquitoes came and attacked me. But I know better. I've seen this. This is a picture of what it looks like in the Christian life. So what we do to get up, to get through, is to find and harvest the Word of God for the promises that you feel you can put your name on by faith, whatever your faith allows you to possess. You put your name on these promises and you harvest them and you repeat them and you perhaps hang them on your bathroom mirror, put them in your car. You read them. I used to print them out on a piece of paper and I would read them in the morning and at nighttime. And then when I started using the Bible app, I would make myself files and folders to where if I was sitting out at a coffee shop or waiting for an appointment, I could open up the promises and refresh myself. It was not too long ago at all that I was having a Bible study time with my wife, and I showed her some of these promises, and I began to weep out of the gratitude for being able to tell her, and she can testify as well, every single one, every single promise has come to pass. God has kept His word. How incredible is that? Invisible God, invisible kingdom, invisible Jesus, invisible Christian faith. We only have the Word of God and then this thing, this deposit that gets made to us, a sixth sense. When we believe in Christ, we get this faith to then apprehend His promises, make them part of our life, take them into us as much as we would a piece of bread and live by them, get strength by them all the way up. You'll never make it without the promises of God. You'll never make it without the faith to believe them. You'll never make it without the diligence to dig and find them. I'm going to share with you some of my favorites. Some of these I can remember sitting in my parents' spare bedroom, which would have been my room for that 3.5 year period where it was just horrible. And I can remember sitting in there clinging to some of these promises. Could have never imagined seeing what I'm seeing today, what I've seen all these years later in my faith, in my heart, in my walk. But somehow or another, I knew I would see something. I would see redemption. I would see deliverance. I knew that my day would come.
I've been sitting here all morning long watching all these people go back and forth into the church buildings and families getting out and in their nice dressed clothes and, you know, holding hands, husbands and wives and all that. And of course, my heart, I just began to say, Father, I know that my day is coming. And I have these promises from God.
Brothers and sisters, listen to these promises. Let's go through them. I wrote, He will watch over me. I titled this promise, Genesis 28:15. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. God has not left me until He has done what He's promised. Everything God has promised me. One day I'm praying and God says, look at page 555 in your Bible. So I quickly turned to page 555 in the Bible and I read the story of Jerusalem's deliverance foretold. And as I read that story, God said, I'm telling you in advance, I'm going to deliver you. If you will trust me, I will deliver you. And I just felt this in my spirit one day while I was praying. That if I would fire my attorney and trust him, he would deliver me in my terrible divorce that I was going through, and that he would do so in a way that was highly unusual and it would bring him much glory. This was a promise God gave me before there was ever any Relentless Heart or YouTube videos. God had spoken to me. He gave me a promise. Yes, I misinterpreted what God was promising me about my second spouse coming back, but that was my fault, not his. Deuteronomy 7:9, he keeps his covenant with me. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations to those who love him and keep his commands. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. I wrote, he will never leave me or forsake me. See, I apply these promises to myself. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. But oh, how it felt like it sometimes. Oh, how it looked like it to me and to perhaps those who were my enemies and even those who loved me but didn't have anything more than a natural faith. It will look like God has left you. This is how faith is tested and proved, and how it grows, and how it ultimately gets to the pinnacle, to the highest level of faith you can have as a Christian.
And right now, I've been praying for God to please refresh our spirit, because it starts to feel again like we've been abandoned.
Mm-hmm. Joshua 1:9, He is with me everywhere I write. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Do you believe it, brothers and sisters? Do you need to be reminded of it? He honors me if I honor him. 1 Samuel 2:30. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promised that your house and your father's house would minister before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honor me, I will honor. Jesus said, my servant will be where I am, and my father will honor the one who serves me. He says, those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me will be disdained. He rewards my faithfulness. 1 Samuel 26:23. The Lord rewards every man for his righteousness and faithfulness. The Lord delivered you into my hands today, but I would not lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. Help for the powerless. 2 Chronicles 14:11. Then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is no God like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this vast army. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. When you walk this path with the Lord, when you set out with him, when he grabs your hand and he makes you stand firm, and he leads you as the good shepherd does all the way to the top, brothers and sisters, the word of God begins to look as if God wrote it just for you. People have made fun of me, those who are the tares and those who are not born again, those who have a natural faith but not a supernatural faith, for how often I've been able to relate God's dealings in my life with his dealings with the saints and the heroes in the Bible.
He says, stop inserting yourself into the Bible. He means when I'm able to identify, wow, God's dealing with me in that way, the same way he dealt with Joseph. Wow, the same way with Moses. Wow, the same way with Abraham. Wow, the same way with David. Wow, the same way with Paul. Stop inserting yourself into the Bible. I tell you the truth. If you call yourself a Christian and you cannot continually see that your life is looking more and more like it could come from the Bible, remembering a tree produces after its own kind. You reap what you sow. If you are indeed sowing the Bible into your heart, if you are indeed obeying the precepts and commands of God, what are you going to reap? You're going to reap facets of the Bible, fruit of the Bible.
There are almost countless examples where I'm able to identify and say, ah, the God, same yesterday, today, and forever. He's dealing with me the exact same way he dealt here with the prophet Samuel, or with David, or with Joseph, and you name it, or with Moses. I mean, I can name almost every character and find some dealing God had with them, some way they responded to God's dealings with them that I can so personally relate to. Thousands of years later, this word is alive, perceptible only to those who have faith. To the rest, it looks like insanity. You will be upheld. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. Have faith. It's always the answer, faith. He is my shield, Psalm 5:12. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Praise his holy name. Psalm 9:9, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Every single one of these is like a promise that I feel Father wrote just for me. Like, I know that promise. I know what it is to find him to be a refuge. I know what it is to be oppressed. I know what it is to run to him as a stronghold in times of trouble. And here I am all these years later. Think, brothers and sisters, if you've seen this story, all the hell that has come against Michael Criswell, Jesus Christ in Michael Criswell, but Michael the vessel that you can see, and all of the spiritual warfare, all of the antagonism, all the suffering, all the loss, God has never failed to be a stronghold for me in times of trouble. And here I sit, untouched by trouble. Untouched. It touched me then externally. It was cruel to my nature, but today it's nothing but a blessing, and I remember my troubles only as water's gone by. He arms me with strength, Psalm 18:31. For who is God beside the Lord, and who is the rock except our God? His ways are loving and faithful, Psalm 25:10. This became a very personal, deep promise to Lisa. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. When she was being challenged by Satan in her flesh to accuse God of being cruel, she said, ah, the word of God contradicts that. It says, all of the ways of the Lord, all of him, the taking of spouses, the taking of children in my life, all of the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful. Not one is not loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. Rejoicing comes soon. Psalm 30, verse 5, praises the name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Psalm 31, 19 through 20. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. Look at how he's called me to testify about his power in my life and the miracles. Not that I'm special, I'm chosen, but so are you if you have faith in God. But he displays his power in my life and in your life in direct proportion to his will and the grace that he gives us for the purposes of bringing glory to his name and making his name known. I will counsel you, Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. I held on to this. I don't know which way to go, Lord. I don't know what you want me to do. My flesh is screaming this. My parents are screaming this. My friends are saying this. I will instruct you and teach you in the way I will. Psalm 34, 4 through 9. I sought the Lord. This is one of my favorites. I can literally remember me sitting in my parents' room in like my prison, just crying out to God. And I remember him just speaking to me so much through this verse. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Okay, look, even Jesus's face was covered with shame. All the apostles. So you can't read Old Covenant poetry promises without bringing in the context of the new dispensation of the new covenant. You are going to look like you've been put to shame if you follow Jesus.
And so there's times when, like right now, we've been looking an awful lot like we are absolute foolish idiots again.
You're going to look like an idiot. It's part of the test of graduating from this life and having those who do not have faith, who do not have a supernatural kingdom of heaven, you know, perspective, who are not interested in the kingdom of God. They must look at you and think, that person is strange. That person is eccentric. That person is, you know, an alien in this world. That's how it has to be. And that will feel shameful when God is testing you and things don't go the way you expected or the way you hoped. You'll have to walk through that mystery. We'll talk more about that on the way up by faith. But to anybody who sees it, it will look shameful. But in the end, it will go well with you. In the end, you will not be put to shame.
Brothers and sisters, do you see now how the Lord has vindicated me, that I broke the law having heard from God, that God told me, don't go, told us to stay put in Cape Canaveral. Can you see now how with a little time, God vindicates this servant?
I have not been put to shame. Brothers and sisters, it's just incredible. I could fill this whole recording with this just one thing here. Look at this. This poor man called, poor man, poor in spirit, needy, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. Lions, they may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. I could do entire messages on every one of these promises, brothers and sisters, but we don't have time. That's what the rest of the ministry is for. Be sure you remember that although you may touch on a few points, this is just to try to give you an overall guide, a sense of where we're going and what true Christianity looks like. But the rest of the ministry, all the journal entries that I captured along the way, the messages that I made in real time, those are where you'll find depth. Those are where you will find some really solid rocks underneath your feet to walk on as you yourself, following my example as I follow Christ, do the same. Psalm 37, 4 through 6. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. Psalm 37, 23 through 24. If the Lord delights in a man's way, He makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall. How important for us to know that going up this mountain. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. Brothers and sisters, I've got a list that just keeps going. Psalm 37, 39 through 40, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them. Brothers and sisters, has God delivered Michael, your brother, from the wicked? He's given me rest on all sides. Where now is Matthew 24:11? Where now is Taylor Meitzner? Where now is Carrie Criswell? Where now are all the voices in the thousands of comments? Where are they now? Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. So I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to stop here, hold on to some of these. I could keep going, but we'll save some more for a few more stages up. You need to repeat this far more often, the holding on to the promises of God, than what we have time to do here and in this series. But it's so important, brothers and sisters. You have to, as much as I'm sitting on this rock, which has been quite enjoyable to take a rest on, the Word of God, Jesus Christ is our rock. You know this. See, the difference between being able to watch this video and enjoy this nice adventure with me and actually do it, which I've already done. I've already lived everything that you're going to see in this journey and then what you'll find through the Relentless Heart and the Old Lost Trail teachings. I've already done this. And there's a disconnect sometimes between me teaching this to you in a video and you realizing just how important this is in your life. You will never, mark my words, you will never make it if you do not cling to the promises of God. And if you do cling to the promises of God, you will never fail. I promise you. So let's get going. Can't stay here all day. We've got to make progress. May the Lord Jesus Christ give us much grace as we continue to climb all the way to the very tippy top of what He has for us. You're on a path to fullness in Christ. It is the highest pleasure He has to see you and I conformed into His image, to see you and I live by faith. This is real. These parables that Jesus gave us, this parable of this climbing the mountain, He had me do this for a reason. It's real. Jesus' grace is real. Faith is real. Mountaintop faith is real. Mountain moving faith is real. Sanctification is real. Being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ from all sin is real. Being a slave to righteousness is real. Moving out of Romans 7 into Romans 8, living a life of the law of the Spirit in love is real. These things are all real, brothers and sisters, but we have to perceive that they are there by faith, and we have to go after them and believe that they are real. This is faith, being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see.